Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Jordana.
And I'm Sammy. What's going on? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving back.
Good. I was like, if she doesn't say it, I'm going to kill her. Good. Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
Right on cue.
We our annual You've Got Mail, Happy Thanksgiving back, obscure line from a movie that no one but us knows.
I think people know You've Got Mail. I mean, that is.
Of course they know You've Got Mail, but do they know that fairly obscure, like, pseudo line of, like, Happy Thanksgiving back, which is not even that, like, without the context of the exact scene?
You know, well, you know. One man's pseudo line is another man's main line. So hopefully they do. Yes. So what's going on? What are your Thanksgiving? What's going on? Happy Thanksgiving. What are you up to?
So my sister, Dr. Naomi, is in town with her whole family. So they're staying at my house, which is really fun. I'm also it's fun. Like, I'm getting to hang out with my nieces and nephew. And I'm also learning about how the sound travels in my house.
Oh, good to know.
It's more than just Mike and I. So, like, and there's like a bunch, there's like three just like screaming kids. So now I have the sense of, you know, what you can hear in every room, which is a new thing for me.
Well, that's very helpful, because when else do you get to try that out?
Never, I guess. Yeah.
I was actually listening to you. I don't remember if you were talking about this on You Up or Oversharing or perhaps both, but you were talking about how did you get beds for everyone? Did you, like, get everything?
Okay. There's enough beds. I got the snacks. I got all the stuff. Yeah, it's been a big prep week. I did a lot of activities.
You did? How's Mike with the is Mike happy with the, you know, the hosting situation?
You know, oh, right, because he wanted me to tell her about the furniture.
Have you met his standards? Is what I'm asking.
I think so. I've sufficiently. Here's the other thing. It's like the person I'm hosting is just like me, because she's right. My sister. She grew up in the same exact house as me. So I know that she has the same bar for, like, how intensely things are, like, paid attention to detail in, which is not that much. And it's funny. I was also showing her, like, the plans I have for my house. And so many of the comments she was making about the plans were, like, exactly the comments that I would make, because it's just funny how, like, genetics work. Like, we're both, like, we have no concept of, like, spatial things and, like, how things fit. So we're looking at these, like, architectural plans, and she's like, which way is, like, up? I don't know. Like, so it's funny to get, like, a reflection of myself in various things that I'm having trouble figuring out.
Yeah, she's kind of the perfect first guest. Yes. for you. Like, perfect trial. Like, she's not going to be too judgy. You have the kids. You got the sound tests. They're perfect. Naomi is the perfect first guest for you. I also think, I was just thinking, like, you say partially it's genetic, but I also feel like it's a lot of it is, like, big family. Like, yes, being raised in a big family. Right. Because you and Avi have a lot of those types of similarities as well. And I really feel like some of it comes from, like, just having a lot of siblings and, like, totally. Certain things just, like, don't really matter because the quantity of the siblings takes, like, all the space up.
It takes up all the space. And also, just, like, there's so, every person you add is another moving part that, to be, if you were, like, super particular about a detail and there's, like, six other people's opinions on, you're just never really, like, you would never survive that situation. So you kind of have to be more, like, you know, basic needs met, I'm good.
Right, exactly. It's like the too much focus on, you know, oh, is the bed perfect? Does everyone have their own bed even? You know, it's questionable.
Exactly. We can't go there, or we'll drive ourselves crazy. But that's nice. I'm going to my in-laws for actual Thanksgiving, and I'm going to my brother's for, like, night before Thanksgiving for, like, my side.
That's how you're spending Blackout Wednesday?
Black, yeah. My Thanksgiving Eve will be spent in Westchester.
Things have really changed.
Truly, truly. I'm hoping I don't sit in like 3 hours of traffic getting there. Is my one prayer for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
What about you? You're going away, right?
Yeah. Avi and I are going to St. Martin. Very excited.
Oh, wow. That's going to be great. Please get some sun for me.
You know, I will. I'm going to try not to, you know, end up with sunstroke or anything that I usually end up with.
In an effort to get sun for the both of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Overdid it.
Look, Jordana said no sunscreen. I wish you could
bottle sun and like give it to me. You know?
I know what you mean. You know, they do have like happy lights. I don't think those. You know, I guess they have like tanning beds.
It's not the same if it's, oh yeah. that's closer to the same. Yeah. But not advised.
I realized that Avi and I, this is the only time I think maybe in our entire relationship where we've gone to like a beach vacation, just the two of us, like that was our choice of destination.
Which is like resort?
Yeah, just
like resort on the beach.
A resort on the beach. Yeah, like we've never just chosen to do that, the two of us. We've only ever gone to a resort like for, you know, with a group or for an event or... Like
that
for
makes
an occasion.
Sense to me. Not even as part of a trip. Like, oh, like you, this is the resort part of the trip.
Not on, you know, the typical beach or Mexico or right. any of those places. Yeah.
That's funny. It makes sense to me because I feel like you're not like that into the sun and Avi is like very into activities.
Yes.
So I would say like resort chilling vacation is very much like minimal activities, be in the sun.
Yeah, except he's very excited for the activities. They have a tennis court there where like I have all my tennis outfits packed and ready to go. Actually, okay. Not packed, more just like sitting in a pile with all the stuff that I'm thinking of packing. But yeah, no, I'm very excited. I'm excited for just to not really think about anything for 4 days straight.
That's going to be great. I'm very happy for you. I'm quite jealous.
Thank you.
What's your mom doing?
She is watching our dogs.
Oh, wow. So you've just abandoned her with the dogs.
We invited her. She doesn't care for the sun either. She's just like, you know, she we're like, would you want to come? You know, she's like, don't care. She was going to maybe go to her friends in Florida, but she also is just like, no, I'd rather stay home.
How many nights are you guys going for?
We're going for 5 nights. Which is like longer than we've ever.
That's a long, longish beach vacation for people who don't are not beach vacationers.
I don't really know. I think it was like I think we ended up staying an extra night because the flight back was so expensive.
Okay,
and so it was like almost not. It was like more expensive to pay for a hotel night, but it was less of a hassle.
That makes sense.
So
right, but then you get the extra day.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you're rather than paying money for a shitty flight on a shitty travel day.
You know what's interesting? The difference between like being younger and being like, I think in my younger days, I was always like, oh, let me book like the latest flight on the day we're leaving because I can have the day. And that was like my mindset. But I think that I've recently changed. Every time I do that now when I'm on the trip, I'm like, can I get the fuck out of here? Like
I know. So I've never been the person who wants the latest flight. I've always been the earliest flight because once I wake up on that day, that it's over. We got to go. It's giving me anxiety to be here anymore knowing that we're leaving.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think that's part of it. And it's like also like I don't like, I think when I was 22, I was like, yeah, I'll get back at like 11:30 and then I'll just go to work the next morning. And now I'm like, oh, that feels like very intense and anxiety ridden because I don't want to get back and then have to be like immediately going to bed and being in the new and like back to work. Like I need a few hours to get home and like decompress and like order dinner and relax.
I even prefer a whole night before where like there's nothing.
Oh, to come back and have like an extra day of no work before you go back to work.
Yeah. Or of just like administering. That's what we call it when you're just like doing your shit, administering right. in your home.
But it's funny because I used to be just like maximize the amount of time
in the sun.
And that's really, if I'm being honest,
that's what
really
it was.
Like, let's get the sun time and then leave once the solar noon is over.
I feel like you barely ever go. I feel like you probably could count the vacations you've been on by choice that are not sun vacations.
I mean, You mean like in the cold, or?
I feel like almost all of the vacations you go on
have some element of being warm.
Beach vacations.
I think that's not true. I go to Europe. I've been to Europe a bunch. My honeymoon was like, they're in the, that's a what beach. I'm saying. Like my honeymoon was like in the sun, but it doesn't mean that like that was a sunny vacation. I've been to Iceland. I've been to a bunch. I just like to have at least part of the trip, like a few, because to me, that's a vacation is sort of just like, you know, you're surrounded by like beautiful warmth and like beauty, whatever island or place you're or anywhere you're at. And you can like relax. Like vacations that are too active to me are not necessarily a vacation. They're not like relaxing.
Well, I think it depends like where you are. Like if you go to Paris, which I don't like, but let's say one likes Paris, that's not like relaxing, but it kind of is because you're just leisurely doing what you want and exploring. I guess it depends what you.
But you still like want to take advantage of like the city and go and see stuff. You're not like.
Well, I think that depends on your way of like.
Why would I go to Paris
things?
And then sit in my and then like relax in my room?
You don't have
Paris.
To relax in your room. It's more like you could just say like, okay, well, I'm just going to like leisurely walk around the city and not get online here and get online here. And
that gets boring like much faster than
honestly. Now I'm like over sightseeing entirely, and I'm like, okay, if I'm going to walk past the thing and then.
But where are you walking to? Then you wind up just like
I'm like you on a regular day.
It's just like meals then surrounded by like random walking for that doesn't work for that many days.
I like I that. Oh my gosh, that is all I want to do in like a city, like walking, shopping, seeing stuff. You know, you encounter things and then you go to your next meal. Maybe you like go to one place that you have a ticket for. I don't know. I like that. I like but depends on the city, obviously.
To each their own. Okay, new question. Take away like prices and effort getting there, everything. What is the ideal vacation amount of days?
If it didn't take any effort to get there, 6 days.
6 days, that's your ideal?
If it was just like no effort to get there, but because things take effort to get there, I feel like I need to be there longer so that I can like actually get adjusted to it and for it to be worth going. It really depends on the ease and the comfort of getting there.
I think after three nights, a vacation is like starting to wear on me a little bit. I want to be back in my own bed. Anywhere, literally anywhere. Like after three nights, I'm like, I've had all the decadent meals. The drinks do not taste as good or feel as good as they did day one. We always talk about how the first drink is the best.
They suck after.
I'm like, I miss my like routine a little bit. I think three nights, if there was no transportation involved, that would be, I'm like ready to go. In my dream world, I do
one 3-night vacation a month.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it were easy to, okay. I agree with that. If there was like you could teleport, right. 3 nights would be great. Maybe I think I need 4. 3 nights to me is like the minimum that you can immerse, that you can like get your mind out of the other stuff and into the place you are. So I think I need at least between 4 and 6 nights somewhere just so I can like detach from where I just was. I think if you could teleport 4-night vacations every maybe 8 4-night trips a year.
Yeah. That would be nice.
With teleportation.
Or 9 3-night. 9 3-night.
9 3-night. Okay. Well, definitely leave us a review and let us know which night combination you are.
The reason, because 3 is my ideal. And the reason that I like book longer is because it does take a lot of time to get places and it is expense. I'm not going to pay for 9 flights a year for 3 nights. So I'm going to pay for like much fewer for longer because it just doesn't make any economic sense.
Also, once you're somewhere, it's like, oh, I want to see the stuff around it. Like I also tend to do like longer trips where we do a bunch of things because, you know, you don't want to have to, I don't know, if I feel like depending on, like if you take a long flight somewhere and you're only going to like one place, I'm like, oh, did I really just like only see one thing? When I was
right, you're not maximizing your distance, because then if you want to see the other things, you have like when we went to Australia, like if you want to see a different part of Australia, we got to go back.
Entirely, like, right?
That's that's 2 days of your whole life just to go back.
Just the there and back. Yeah, exactly. Plus, like, for me, it's, and part of the, like, and this is why I think when we invited my mom, she was like, no, I'm not coming. And we talked about this, is because it's like, okay, I don't just have to, like, sit on the plane for the length of the flight. I have to get to the airport, be in the airport, deal with the airport shit, get to... deal with the plane. Maybe there's a delay. Maybe people are being, maybe there's issues. I have to deal with the fucking plane, the baggage, the, all of this stuff. And then you have to, like,
Getting off the plane is the worst part of flying.
Then you have to, like, settle in. Are your bags there? You have to settle into the hotel. You, like, if you could just be there, 3 days would be great.
Right. And this is all assuming you don't even have, like, a canceled flight or some sort of other terrible nightmare. I mean, all lucky problems to have. Happy Thanksgiving.
We do a lot of hypothetical travel on this show.
We do. But I mean, we love travel. That's, I think, a passion for both of us is travel.
So. I think vacations are a passion for both of us.
Yeah, but we like to see shit. I saw that travel.
Yeah, we like to see shit. But like, I think it's, we like vacations. Like, if I'm being honest, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I do like a vacation. It really breaks things up. A nice 3-night vacation.
Nine times a year.
That's the ticket.
Teleported.
That's a ticket. But I'm excited for you. It's like I feel like you think you guys are doing some experimental, like, beach stuff you're nervous about. I'm like, so, like, this is my wheelhouse trip.
Yeah, you're really good at this. Please send me any tips you have for sitting at the beach all day without wanting to die. It's like
a really good book.
I definitely have a lot of books. I have several books in my bag.
For like a beach vacation that is just like, oh wow.
You know what?
Life.
As long as I have shade and my ice roller and and like a lot of cold beverages, I'll be okay. My problem is that, like, you've been with me when my nose swells up. It's just, you know, I don't know. I'm not.
Get a little allergic to the sun.
I'm but Eastern European.
I'm Eastern European too.
Okay, but like I'm like the palest Eastern European.
Here's what you do. Oh my God, I'm having like a vision. I'm manifesting for you. You're on the beach. You've got a great chair. You've got an umbrella over you, unlike in my vision. You have a really good book. And you have, I mean, for me, it would be like a glass of rosé, but you can pick your drink of choice.
Aperol spritz.
Fine. You have an Aperol spritz and you're in the middle of a really good book, just looking and hearing the ocean in the background. Oh.
That's going to be great. I will send you a video and, you know, I'm very excited. I'll let you know when I'm reading.
Okay. So now I think we both know what we're doing for Thanksgiving at this point. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches. Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Jordana, so by the way, I've been prepping to go on vacation by watching The White Lotus just to get myself like in the mood.
That's funny.
But, you know, I got a, which character will I be? You know, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But it reminds me that apparently Nicole Kidman dropped the tea this week, accidentally or not, that there's going to be another Big Little Lies.
I'm very excited. That was would you say that show was good, bad, good?
I would say it was
season good, two was good, like a little weird.
Season one, I think, was good. Good. Season two was maybe good. Bad.
Yeah.
But I really liked it.
I kind of want to rewatch that show. I haven't seen that show in many years.
I would too. Yeah, Meryl Streep was in the second season.
I'm like
she basically said it like while she apparently she said it while she was speaking on stage at a Ladies Professional Golf Association Q&A in Naples, Florida. During like a, you know, a golf championship tournament that I guess she was attending. And she just basically says, we'll be bringing you a third one, FYI, meaning a third season.
Oh, okay. I wonder if that was not allowed.
Right. Well, I wonder like what made, this is just, was you know, this, the golf event trying to get their name out there, you know.
I'm like weirdly a big Shailene Woodley fan.
I know.
She's like kind of a weirdo.
Yeah, you do love Shailene Woodley. You've always really been into her. I don't know. Sometimes you just like decide you like a certain celebrity and you just like are into them.
So I don't know anything about her, but I do like her.
She's you like her vibe. Yeah.
No, she's very she's like a little like granola crunchy, you know, like she might be like anti-vax, though.
I think she is. But I think yeah, I think she is. But it also goes with her like no shoes, no deodorant.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
All love raw that food vibe. Yeah, that's so you.
She didn't like have a cell phone. I think we talked about that on the show or something until like.
Okay, I feel like maybe the thing to like about her is not the anti-vax thing. It's like the beating to her own drum.
Yes.
Kind of vibe.
Yes. She marches to the beat of her own drum.
Yeah, beating. Yeah,
something
exactly.
Along that. But she's fun. It's just funny to like. I think of her as so opposite of like Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon. So.
Well,
it's
that
funny.
Is the premise of the show.
That's also true. Yeah.
It's the whole idea. That's why they cast her, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. I once took a like road trip along route Highway 1.
So did I.
And I I guess I'm not unique, but yeah. I remember driving by, what was it, Monterey?
Yeah.
And just such an incredible
so nice.
View. Like.
It's crazy.
So cool. I mean, we want to live there really bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a little scary, although I feel like you probably liked that. Safe danger?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I like when there's like a, it's like scary, but there's like a true professional in charge, if that makes
right.
sense.
So you don't want to be driving there.
No, yes.
No.
So I wouldn't like driving it. Mike did a better job. Anyway.
My mom and I drove there like after the year I, that we graduated high school, we went to California and we drove wow. down the coast. And I definitely was too immature to appreciate it as much as I could have.
You're probably complaining the whole goddamn time.
Yeah, I fell off a horse on a golf course, actually, in Monterey. And I thought I had a concussion. So we went to the hospital in Monterey. This is my Monterey story. And then so I was kind of bitching about the concussion, you know, or
I mean, that's
I don't remember if I actually had one.
Be fair.
Yeah, yeah, no, it was not ideal, but I too was on a golf
this
course.
This explains a lot. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. she fell on her head after high school. Okay. Yeah. Everything.
That's a cool, fun, like, memory. Not the horse part, but the road trip.
My dad was actually at the vacation for that part. Like, he came for half of it. We went from San Francisco to LA.
Just to watch you fall off the horse?
No. He was just there for the first half until we got to, like, Southern California. We went to, like, Hearst Castle. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Hearst Castle.
Oh. That's cool, though.
And all these cool places. Santa Barbara. It was great. I would love to do that again.
You and your mom should do a part two, like when you're now that you're probably twice the age that you were when you first did it.
Yeah, almost. And just way more appreciative.
I could see your mom being good on a road trip.
Yeah, she is. She is very good. My mom's a fun time.
She is. Love Eileen. Hi, if you're listening.
Well, I don't think she is. Oh. I think she's behind on these. But we'll know for sure when we, you know, if she ever says anything.
Did you watch The Crown? I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched the first, I don't know, two or three episodes.
I watched the whole thing.
Okay, so don't give up. I mean, we all know, the thing about the show is we all know what happens.
Yeah, right. I would put it in the category, I'd put those episodes in the category of good, bad, but I still liked them. So,
Didn't think they were that good?
I didn't think they were good. I thought they were good, bad.
Like, do you think the whole show is
good, bad? No, I think most of the show is good up until like maybe
what didn't you like about it?
I just thought it was like speculative, one, like too speculative. It wasn't focused enough on the queen, and I don't know, like I couldn't shake this feeling of like, okay, this is one way to tell the story, but I've heard it told other ways. And I
what other ways have you heard it? I mean, I haven't seen the end, but I assume like from the first two episodes.
The way they're telling it really emphasizes that Mohammed Al-Fayed was pushing them into this relationship. And
oh, yeah.
And like that there was like this complex he had about like the Brits, which I do think probably does hold up. But there was. How do we know what really went on? In those,
how do we know what any of it went on though for any of the show?
Because like I think there were some primary sources that they use. I mean, I guess maybe they did it the same way. I don't know. It just wasn't as focused on the queen. It felt almost just like, I don't know. It didn't have anything like groundbreaking about it. And having seen this story told so many times, I'm just sort of like, okay.
I think it's tough material to work with because unlike the rest of The Crown, like season one and two, like I had no idea about any of that stuff. Like the details are so interesting. Just having like, that hasn't been in pop culture references for the past, I don't know, 15 years. Like the Diana thing, I think is a lot more high pressure because people already know a lot more about that. And like the story is so much bigger, at least for a millennial generation, than whatever was happening with, you know, the king's brother abdicating for his divorced wife or something. Like, there's a lot more pressure. And I feel like it's much higher stakes to tell this story, right? So I see what you're saying and why it would be a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah. What'd you think of it?
I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't really know. I'm not like a Diana head. I don't know if that's a thing.
It is a thing.
So I didn't really know. I obviously know like the main details of what happens with her. I didn't really know much about this role before I watched the show. I didn't even really know she was like in a relationship with Dodi like at all.
That was like a huge piece. But I think again, this was reemphasizing that like their relationship was much shorter and more like flashy than it was necessarily real.
Yeah.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable, and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
It's interesting because, I haven't finished it yet, but it seems like I couldn't tell if they were trying to say that he was like actually interested in her or he was kind of just doing what his dad. It was like unclear to me if he was actually interested in her or if he was kind of using her.
I think they were trying to portray that it was like a little bit of both and that maybe he couldn't even tell the difference himself because of the way that his father kind of like made him be. And I think that that's part of the tragedy is that you had these like two super young people who were both like thrown every which way by their family members who were more wealthy and more powerful. And I think even if they had like anchored the conversation on that commonality, it would have been more interesting
right.
than the way they did it.
I think it makes Camilla look like pretty great. She seems like she's kind of, you know, it's funny because I feel like Camilla was always sort of portrayed as, or from what I remember as a kid, as like this sort of, you know, this other woman,
evil.
Like evil person we shouldn't really like at all. But she does seem sort of just like the most, at least how they're portraying her, totally normal, like doesn't really care. Like Charles is much more advocating on her behalf than she even really cares for. Seems very much like people will come around. Like I don't really, and this again, this is from what I've seen on the show. I don't know how accurate it is, but they seem to be portraying her as sort of like they're in love but she's like not annoying about it.
Well, I think this is sort of like real life where it's like, okay, from someone's perspective, that is how it went down. From another person's perspective, it probably went down very differently. Or if you cherry pick certain instances of each type of behavior that happened over like 20 years, you're going to get like a mix of a narrative or like even on the same day, on a different day, you could have your own varied perspective on her. And I think part of this is that like the writer of the show doesn't want to like go astray of King Charles and like the royal family also. Like that is a factor.
I mean, Charles still looks like kind of a loser in this comparatively though, where he's like, where are my stories about Camilla?
It's funny that like you say this because like my mother, for example, like I think everyone of like our parents' generation like thinks Camilla still, like they hate her. She did all this stuff to Diana. Charles was horrible for doing this. So I think my mom thinks that it was like easy on him. You think it was like hard on him.
On Charles, not really. I mean, on Camilla, I would say more than Charles.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. I think that like it really just depends like from where you sit, and the writer picked an angle and it was a more modern angle where like Camilla wasn't getting torn apart. That also happens to like benefit, you know, the writer probably in terms of how like the royal family thinks of that, him.
All right. I mean, she's still alive and like Diana.
And they want to get like knighthoods. So.
Right. I mean, it's interesting, I guess, just like I think Bravo historian Sam Bush has like said this before. We're like, that's really like the true love story here is Charles and Camilla, which is really accurate. And I mean, I have to say like Camilla, much older than Diana, much less attractive, I think, conventionally. Like, this is a story where, like, if Charles wasn't truly, like, in love with her personality and who she was as a person, like, he really did a lot of work to be with her. And it does not seem superficial to me at all.
That's exactly how I feel have felt about their relationship for quite a while now, especially because, like, yeah, that's commitment. Like, he... And part of it, I think, is that
he
like
he could have been like he could have divorced Diana and started dating like a 23-year-old.
But I think the point is that
it was never about anyone else but her.
Right. Yeah. He never wanted to like marry Diana. He was forced to marry Diana because he couldn't marry Camilla. All he ever wanted was Camilla. He's maintained consistency on that point. And now that, you know, and I think that there's like a lot of respect for like. She took a lot, you know, she put up with a lot so that.
Right. And I mean, at least this shows her this. I mean, at least in this depiction of her, she's never like talking shit about Diana. She's never like.
I mean, I think that is unlikely to have happened in real life.
I'm sure to an extent, but it doesn't seem like she's done that in a way. She is doing that in any sort of way that is more than one would expect. Or like less, potentially less than what she seems very confident in herself in this depiction of her. And it's just interesting, I think, the dynamics. And again, like, I just think she's like, there's an inherent urge to dislike her, but I think the show makes her almost as likable as possible.
I agree. And I think she might even be, hot take, maybe the most likable since the queen herself.
Right. Maybe she's really great. That's like another option.
I'll be honest. Like when I read Spare, now that this is kind of jogging my memory and I can even go look back at like my pictures of it, I kind of think I think that also changed my like my sense of her as just being a more dynamic, interesting, like stronger woman than, you know, you would necessarily assume. Right. I'm going to go back and check that out because I feel like that was an impression I got.
I think I forgot this fact from the show. Why wasn't Charles allowed to marry her?
Because she was married and she wasn't a virgin.
Before they met?
No, she was married? I don't no no no. I don't think so, but it's like she was not a virgin.
Okay.
And they have to marry a virgin.
That was the issue, was that she wasn't a virgin?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's definitely not still a rule, I assume.
No, it's not. I mean,
right.
All the rules are These rules aren't real.
Are they real? Yeah. Like they were real that time at Moorvest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So like the patriarchy and the queen is the real villain here, not Camilla.
Yeah, that is the point, especially because also in The Crown, I think it was in season 5, the queen makes the rule. You know, she didn't let her sister marry Peter Townsend, and then Anne, I think, wanted to marry someone like in the exact same situation, and the queen let her do it years later. So it's like it kind of changes. And I mean, Kate Middleton obviously was not a virgin. Like they were dating.
The queen is really Regina George here. She's just like, you know, making all these rules. She's trying to stay on top. It's like, you know,
yeah,
like. I guess that for a woman of her time, you can't blame it entirely on her. It's true. This wasn't just like her choice. There's a lot of pressure from the outside to be doing these things. But
well, that's also the lesson of The Crown. It's that like it's not even about her. She's just like the vessel for the divinity.
Right.
Yeah, of The Crown. And that's why she like struggled with all these things.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough for all.
Tough to be a queen, isn't it? But speaking of The Spare, this just reminded me, Harry's co-writer on Spare is the guy who wrote that Wall Street Journal piece about Travis Kelce this week that came out. Kate Kennedy actually pointed out to me that it was written by the co-writer of Spare. And I just thought it was very interesting because, I mean, you couldn't have written a more glowing piece. Like you couldn't have written something that brought to light someone's positives and minimized any of their negatives more effectively.
That was probably like the way they got the article written, right? Like, I think a lot of the behind the scenes press is like a lot of bartering for, like, it's not just like, can I do the story?
The Wall Street Journal was like, I think they probably sought that, went to a writer.
He probably only agreed to it, or his publicist probably only agreed to it if there was some sort of control of the narrative.
Well, I'm sure they sought a writer that they know can tell a nice humbling story about not an underdog, and I don't know, who knows what the actual connection is, but I just thought that was very interesting, and I thought it was a really good story. It made me really like him.
No, that's very interesting. Oh, Holly says, I also want to just clarify about the Camilla Charles thing. She says Camilla got married after Charles was forced to break up with her. So they did date, and she wasn't married when they were dating. And so the reason, like, she couldn't be, they just weren't into her for the queen.
I think it's because she was known to not be a virgin was the reason they were originally not into her for the queen.
She got married when he was away in the Navy because they forced him to get away from her. Definitely, it seems like the consensus is definitely not a virgin.
Yeah, that was the problem. That was actually, like, literally the problem. So he had to go find, like, a beautiful English rose, and then he found Diana.
Good for him for not caring, though, in that time. Because, like, a lot of men, I think, in that time would care that she was very clearly, definitely not a virgin, as it seems to be widely known.
Right. I mean, I don't think he cared in terms of, like, dating her. Charles also, like, dated around a lot before Diana. And
including
that's why
Diana's sister.
Yeah. And it was, like, a thing that he needed to find, like, a young woman who was suitable to be queen. Wasn't going to be Camilla. Yeah, I have to wonder, like, if he was allowed to marry Camilla, was part of their love story the fact that he wasn't allowed, so it made...
Yeah, they're, like, star-crossed lovers. But I think that even if they, it seems like they've been together a while now, it seems like even if they, seems like they would have been a really good match. Like, they would have just been
they
together.
They are a good match. Yeah. I mean, they're still together. They seem to really like each other by all accounts. Like, I've never read an account ever, and they would exist, about Charles and Camilla being, like, fake or not, or sticking, you know, having issues, but they're sticking together. Like, I've never heard anything like that. So.
It's truly a star-crossed lover situation, but I think the fact that Diana died, it really made her into a big villain, I'm sure, much like more than maybe she could have been if she didn't pop in pop culture.
Definitely. They needed to make her a villain because when Diana was in the family, they needed Diana to be popular.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, extra dark brews, sours, hazies, and more. Many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
I know you're going to be in St. Martin, so you're probably not going to be doing this. One thing about me is I love a good sale. Absolutely nothing I love more than just feeling like I got a deal, like someone else paid more for something than I did. It goes with my competitive nature. It goes with my cheap nature.
Is it about the other people paying more, or is it about that you paid as little as possible? It never occurred to me that like I was in competition with other people.
Oh, if you're competitive enough, you can always be in competition with other people.
That's so funny, because when I get a deal, I've never thought about it in relation to like me paying more than other people did. It's more about just like me paying as little as I could possibly.
No, I think that's like a little part of it. It's like not the most
becoming.
It's not the most becoming, as one might say, quality. But I do get a little bit of a high feeling like someone else paid something more than I paid for something.
That is so wild to me. That is, oh my gosh, I'm so curious if other people feel this way.
It's equally upsetting to feel like I paid more than someone else for something.
Never, never even thought about it in relation to other people. I only ever thought about it as like, is this too much? That do I feel like I paid too much, right? Or do I feel like, well, I got a good deal?
I've never, like, a good
person. That is so
person.
Interesting. Is it because I'm a good person, or is it just we think about? It's so interesting.
It's funny how the minds just work so differently.
It just never once occurred to me that it was about like better than other people and not just relative to my own money.
Yeah, I don't like this quality that I have, but it's just, I have to say, it's there. I you know, I try to minimize it, and I, you know, I have to, I admire that quality in you. You're
thank
so
you.
So generous, and so like what's the word, what's the mindset,
abundance, yeah, mindset.
Abundance mindset. And I would love to get more into that. It's going to be one of my resolutions for 2024, I think, is to become more abundance, not limited mindset. It's very,
I think that's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, thank you. Thank you, first of all. I don't think it's like, I mean, to some extent, I feel like I've like a little bit cultivated it. But also, I think some of it is like natural.
Ingrained.
You know, or like due to like, nurture.
Right.
You know? Or just, I don't know. It could be a million things, but I don't think it's like solely, I've decided to always just be generous. You know, that's not.
Yeah. I would say that's one of our biggest differences, if I have to think about, you know.
I would totally agree. But also, like, it's kind of good, because I don't think that people who have like my level of thinking about things are probably the best at running a business alone, you know, just because I'd be like, we can just. You know, it's just, you know, you get yourself into trouble, I think, when you're always looking for a way to spend money.
It's kind of
like
I
am.
Right. It's kind of like you need the healthy medium between the two of us, potentially, in a business sense. And maybe Aileen's somewhat more.
I think she is.
Yeah.
I think she is.
Middle ground.
But also it just has to, like, each conversation has to be had like on its own. But it's so interesting. You think I won't be shopping just because I'll be away. I have a phone. I have a phone. Also, Black Friday started weeks ago, by the way. There have already been sales that I have.
Oh, I read something online that the sales are starting earlier, actually, than they ever have. Partially because they don't think people are buying as much. Because people are just spending less this year or something, or they're expected to spend less this year than they have in previous years.
Well, it's just you're relying on pure impulsiveness and not wearing people down. You know, like if you see something on November 2nd and you're like, ooh, that's like not bad, but I'm trying not to spend so much this year. By the time it's November 29th, you might be like, oh, like I've really been thinking about this item. I should buy it. I could talk about the psychology of money and shopping for so long. It's actually wild.
People don't talk about psychology of money that often, and like how people think about it. It's such an important part of like
how we all exist in this capitalist society. I've been thinking about this actually for a really long time, that there is like attachment style for money that people have.
Totally. Like, yeah.
And there's a, maybe I sent you this, like someone I came across, I've been thinking about this for like at least a year at this point. And I found some like TikTok recently. Maybe I meant to send it to you. Maybe I didn't actually do it, but it's like it does come down to like the abundance theory. And then obviously there's like layers of privilege
It's but I think that even within
you could have people who are super privileged, never
spend a dime, and people who have super no stingy money and spend a lot,
or people who are just like their generosity like is the same at whatever level that they have, like they're going to be really generous for whatever level
have. within their means. That's a good point. But I mean, speaking of that, we have a great gift guide. You can listen to it on this feed. Sammy, do you want to expand?
Yeah, we had two of our betches team, Maria and Maddie, who came on, and they talked about
Maddie of You Up previously, if you're a You Up listener. Yes.
Maddie is now working on our Good at Shopping account, showing you all things shopping. I really love the account. I think she's been doing a great job with it, making it look very, very cool. And basically, we talk all about gift giving, gift ideas, gift do's, don'ts. Jordana, you know, by the way, since we recorded this, I got you your housewarming gift.
That's so sweet. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to give it to you. It's classic me, totally not necessary, but I do think it will make your life, it will make your life, it's not better. Like easier, but not better, but like one area that I know you,
is it a vacuum?
I can't say it's that practical. You also have a vacuum.
I saw your vacuum last week.
It was out. No, it's something that I know that you're gonna want because you've talked about it in relation to something else on your other shows.
Oh wow.
And it's something that you'll be able to reuse annually.
Oh wow. I can't wait for you to give it to me so we can tell the listeners what it is. We've built up a lot of anticipation.
I guess
we talk about this a little bit more on the Good at Shopping episode. So if you guys want to listen to that, check it out. And here's the thing. As Jews, generally, there's not as much of an intensity around gift giving. But now that I'm in the Christmas
Hanukkah
game.
What Hanukkah did you celebrate?
One where I did not get 8 presents every night. There were 8 of us. We're not like, there wasn't like 64 presents being given out.
I mean, they don't all have to be big. Like my Hanukkah presents, I stopped getting 8 presents very early. But like my presents would be like
are you getting Avi 8 presents?
We're not getting each other
That's what I'm
presents.
Saying. Like I'm saying as an adult in Judaism, no. There's not as much, it's the gift giving season, but it's not quite as intense for Jewish people. But now that I am in the Christmas game, I need the Good at Shopping episode because I actually like there are quite a few gifts to get and get received and lists to be made if you are in the Christmas game, which I now am in.
Yeah. And you're also spending a lot at one time, whereas like, you know, if you're not in the Christmas game, you're just sort of in the general
continuous spending as Sammy
you're just in like you know, it's someone's birthday, you get them a gift, someone's something, right. you know
Sammy
whatever.
Can always find a reason to get someone a gift.
It's how I express love and care, to be honest. And you know, I feel like people think like having gifts as your love language is like shallow. Did we go into this on the other podcast?
I don't think we fully went into it, but I was going to say, I think when you were talking about how gifts are your love language, I was going to say like, that's usually considered like the bad one that you're not supposed to say.
But here's the thing, like I am honest and at least you know you can trust my word because I don't, you know, I'm not pretending like I care about, you know, acts of service when I want a fucking pair of earrings, okay? Like I just want something nice. I just like it.
Okay.
I love opening something. Oh, and a card. It comes with a card. You like a card.
I love a card. A card isn't really a gift though. A card is a words of affirmation.
Gifts come with cards.
I know, but I'm saying like the card I wouldn't consider the gift. The card is like
you're talking about like a love letter. that yes. you're a card can be like very nice without going love letter.
But like when it's very nice, it usually says like positive things about the person.
But it can say those things in like four sentences.
Yeah.
And not
I like a nice long card.
Yeah, you like a love letter.
Maybe I'll give you one for your birthday.
Please. Oh my God, you are a good card writer, so I would love a card.
Thank you. My issue with my card writing abilities is that my handwriting is really bad, so I feel like the sentiment is really good in my cards. Like I think they're pretty good, but they always look like a little scary.
Well, Avi types his cards and he
oh, that's cool.
and he Let's puts see. Them on nice paper.
So he prints it and he pastes them? He like or he just prints it
no,
out.
No, he prints it out and
on like a piece of computer paper.
A paper. Yeah, but nice paper. He has nice paper.
I have to see one of these. I won't read it. Just
I will
just,
show you. No.
Just show it to me.
I will show you. And he puts it in a box. It's the whole thing.
Oh wow.
Because of the nice paper. Well, he actually hasn't done one of these in like a while. What the fuck?
Well, now you guys have been married a bit. Gone are the days.
He's
the
like,
era.
All right, here's your present that you asked for specifically months ago. Which reminds me, I know exactly what I'm going to be asking for my birthday.
You're well, excited. Guys, for more on gift giving, if you have a million gifts to get, you don't have any ideas, we are here to help. There is a whole episode out right now ahead of all the deals. Well, actually, in the midst of all the deals, as we've said before, the deals have been happening and are continuously rolling.
Hopefully, they'll intensify on Friday, at least for one day.
I hope so, so that I can feel like if I waited until Friday, I got the lowest deal. Like instead of that sucker who bought it 2 days before.
Do you have things you're intending to buy or are you just going to like buy what you see kind of thing? Like, oh, I need clothes.
I have like lame household items that I'm waiting to buy. Nothing like that.
Okay, so that's not even like, oh, you could really like the thing so much that you feel like I got this really special item on sale.
Yeah, I never think of like special items. I'm never like jonesing for something special.
It's not about jonesing. It's about like you see something and it calls to you and you're like, I need that. That is so something I want.
On a rare occasion, I will look at something, not buy it because I'll be like, I don't need that. And then if I'm still thinking about it, like 4 days later and it's advertised to me correctly again, I will buy it.
Okay. So that means that it calls to you. You know, yeah. You're just getting in touch with your emotions. No, I'm the same way. I'll like with, but that's more like, okay, if I'm thinking about buying something, I'll be like, maybe not. And then if I'm still thinking about it, then we get it.
Right.
Doesn't have to be 4 days though. It could be months, could be
psychology of gift giving.
Psychology of money.
Of money. Yeah. Should do a Psychology of Money podcast. Anyway.
I would love to.
That'd be fun.
But we're not certified.
We are not. That we are not. Well, we're not certified to really talk about pop culture either. And here we are.
That's not a certification.
There it's should be. Like, there
no
should
one's
be a degree.
Gonna, like, take responsible advice.
I majored in Taylor Swift with a minor in Olivia Rodrigo.
But here's the thing. Like, there's no irresponsibility. Like, you're not going to screw up anyone's life if you tell them the wrong information about Taylor
That's
Swift.
True. You're not selling products, really.
You're not selling expertise that some people go to school for.
That's a good point. No one's health is on the line. The stakes are low. Anyway, yes, exactly. On that note,
to our next episode.
It. Yeah. If you guys are listening on Thanksgiving, I feel so honored to be a part of your Thanksgiving day. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on. And thank you for listening. I'm thankful that you guys listen to the show. I'm thankful that we can do this show. Sammy, what about you?
Oh, we're doing what we're thankful for. Me too. I mean, how lucky are we that we get to talk about things that we'd want to talk about anyway, in the way that we'd want, that we would really talk about them, i.e. Exactly. not fact checked. and we get to do it for fun.
Agreed. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for all the positive reviews you've given in the past and will give in the future. Hint, hint. and we'll see you next week on the Ad Badgers podcast.
Bye.
Ad Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson. Editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow Ad Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.